Come on, let's clap our hands. Thank God for his power. Come on, better, better. Thank you, Jesus, for your mighty power tonight. Praise God. Let's pray together, everybody. Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, you're welcome in this meeting tonight. We are encouraged by your Spirit. We are infused with supernatural joy, peace, comfort, confidence, and direction. We are not behind. We're moving to the top. Hallelujah. The devil has no hold on us. We are free and free indeed. Hallelujah. Because we're continuing on with you. Now may your Spirit work in dynamic ways. And let us move out of this place like we've never been before. With greater faith. In our spirit, let us operate in the spirit of faith, where we say we believe, thus we speak, and we thank you for that, Lord. Guard the words that we speak in this service tonight, but not only that, Lord, but put a guard over our mouths all week long, that we don't say anything that brings us harm or brings anyone else defeat. But God, let our words be filled with victory this week in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Turn around, shake hands with about four folks and say, you look really nice tonight, if you would. Thank you, choir. Great job. Thank you. Thank you. Go. No, I'm just kidding. You weave now. Amen. When you're seated, let the choir know, the musicians know that we're grateful for them tonight, if you would, please. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, choir. Thank you, choir. Praise God. Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much. Praise God. Well, I'm glad that you're in church tonight, and I think before you're done, you'll be glad that you're in church tonight. Amen. Hey, there's Josh Daniels over there and his wife and the little one. God bless you guys. Good to see you. Did you go back to India this summer? You did, and you maybe just got back. Fantastic. Welcome home. And speaking of India, Nate Pimentel, I want Nate to come up because he just got back from India. But he won't be going back as soon as the Daniels do. How many of you remember, look, Josh, just stand up. Just how many remember Josh preaching on a Sunday night here a few months ago? Remember him? That's the best Indian preacher I've ever met. I didn't know Indians could preach. But that's one that can. Amen. When he gets preaching, his legs get moving. And I like it, man. When I see his legs going, I'm like, here it comes. Here it comes. It's going to get hot here in a minute. Amen. He's not really. He's already one. He would already preach under the table about anybody I know in New England right now, and he hasn't even graduated yet. So God bless you, buddy. I'm jealous. I was going to say I hate your ability, but I'm jealous. That's all. With a holy jealousy. Sit. How many of you love Nate and Mary Ann Pimentel? Huh? These guys are. Well, I have two Portuguese friends. And they're both in church tonight. Hallelujah. Because that's where you want your Portuguese friends, in church. But Nate just got back from 10 days in India. And we partnered with him. If you remember, we took that offering there. And then we partnered with their ministry anyways. But I want him to share with you. Just back a week ago. Yeah. A week ago. And how many would just believe it if I told you India is a different place than Maine? Yeah, all right. Come on, let's hear what happened.
India is just a slightly different place than Maine, but it was good. I got there, I would say 2 o'clock in the morning their time, and they had me preaching right from the beginning at a small church right in there, like about 15 minutes where I was at. And right from the start, we seen God do a lot of things. And most importantly, throughout the 10 days that we were there, we got to witness many people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. And I wish I could give you an accurate count, but, you know, they don't keep track of, like, decisions like we do here in America. But they do disciple them. They just, you know, they don't count, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when I got there, I preached at a little small church, one of the small churches that I was at. And when I gave the invitation for people to receive Jesus Christ, it amazed me. Just about everybody in the building put their hand up. And they came forward to receive Christ. And it was a lot of Hindus, a lot of people that, you know, practice, that were Muslims that came to know Christ while we were there. And so God opened a lot of opportunities for us while I was there. Different opportunities this year than last year. And I got the privilege of speaking at a church in Chennai that the first Sunday that I was there had about 3,000 people in attendance. And when you're speaking to 3,000 people in a building that has no air condition at all, and it gets very hot in there very quickly. And but I just went there not to preach my opinions, because there's a difference when you preach in America and a difference when you preach in India. And in India, like in different parts of the nation, people don't care how eloquent your speech is and how great you can communicate the gospel message. All they want to know is, does this... And so I went there determined in my heart that I wasn't going there to impress anybody or to get the applause of people back at home, but I was determined in my heart that I was going to please God, and I was going to call as many people as I could to the foot of the cross, and that we did. We seen a lot of people. It amazed me how hungry the people in India are for a move of God. You go to church. I went to a church, and I'm not exaggerating, that was no bigger than the conference room that's upstairs in this room. And they had about 150 to 180 people jam-packed in one room. Literally, the closest person to me when I was preaching was like right where that last step was at. And the people were just so hungry for a move of God. And they praised God. And I encouraged the people while I was in India. I said, listen, when you praise God, it doesn't matter what your geographical location is at, what country you live in, what nationality or what race or gender you are. When you praise God, you always compel the presence of God into your situation. And He always takes you out. And the Bible says He delivers you out of every problem. And I'm so thankful that there's no problem too big that God cannot handle. I heard somebody say this one time, and they said, there's nothing that the devil can do to you that God cannot do something about. And I'm so thankful that we serve a great and mighty God. And so as we were there for the 10 days, I got to meet a lot of people and go to a lot of different churches to go speak. The last Sunday that I was there, I had the opportunity of a lifetime. And I'm going to say this because I don't want to exaggerate. A lot of people say that the evangelists, they know how to exaggerate and blow things out of proportion. So I don't want to be considered one that exaggerates. But in this one church that we were at, there was over 5,000-6,000 people in attendance. And what amazed me was I thought only the people in America got to church late. But I've noticed all over the world they get to church late. But I got to a service early, about 15 minutes before the service started, and I was sitting sitting on the platform to the side in a building that seats about 7,000 people, and they told me that I was going to speak the first service. And so when I got there, there was only 75 people in attendance. Now, 75 people in attendance is good if the room only fits like 25 people. But when you're preaching to 75 people in a room that fills like 7,000 people, it's very empty. But within those 15 minutes, that whole building packed out and with hungry people that were ready to receive from God. And one thing that I noticed is the people over there in India, they have a faith, they have an expectancy level that God's going to show up and He's going to do something. And I remember I was at this one church, if any of you have seen the pictures that we've posted on our ministry Facebook, but I was preaching on the platform, and in front of me was like a gate, and then about another 3 feet was another gate. And I thought to myself, I like to walk around every time I preach and get off the platform. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this. And so I called one person by word of knowledge out, and I had them come to the front. This one young lady came up to the front, and I said, well, what am I? Am I going to walk all the way around? So I hopped the gate over, hopped the first gate, hopped the second gate. And when I went to go pray for that young lady, it amazed me. Everybody just started coming out of their seats. And all they wanted to do was, and I'm not saying this to be boastful, but just to show you how hungry the people were. But they would come out of their seats and they would rush up to the platform and just try to touch my hand or try to touch my shirt, because they had a faith. They believed that if I just touch the man of God that's preaching tonight, I know I'm going to receive my healing. And many receive their healing. I preach, people tell me all the time, try to preach that Jesus heals and Jesus prospers and blesses in India and in Africa, and tell us how that goes. Well, I've come back with a good report. And I've preached it over in India. Sooner or later, I'm going to preach it over in Africa and all over the world, that Jesus heals and Jesus prospers. And I've realized that when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel of Jesus Christ is always accompanied and followed with signs and wonders. Because Jesus said, I will confirm my word with signs and wonders. And so I preach the gospel that Jesus heals. And guess what? Jesus healed people out in the country, out in the nation of India. And just this one testimony, there was this lady who went in for surgery at the and the doctors had actually done things worse, and so she got out of surgery worse than when she went into the surgery. And a lot of times that's exactly what happens. I don't have anything against doctors, but there's a greater doctor, and his name is Jesus, and he never loses a patient. And so when we pray for this dear woman, she came up, she could hardly walk. That's how badly messed up she was. She needed to be escorted to the front of the church. They had to help her stand up. And so we just laid hands on her. And within moments, I'm telling you, within 30 seconds, the power of God came upon this young woman. Her spine was messed up. Her discs were messed up. But when the power of God came upon her, this young woman started jumping all over the place. She started bending and doing things that she couldn't do before. And she went back to her seat walking on her own. People say, well, did she go back and get a doctor's report? Listen, after what I've seen, I don't need to see a doctor's report, because what she was going through, and if it was true what she was going through and she needed the help to be escorted to the front, by the time that prayer was over, when she walked back to her seat, she walked back on her own, and the power of God hit her on that night. And so we've seen God do many, many great things. And God opened the door for us to go back to India again. Next year, I'll be going back from July 20th to July 30th. And they said, last year you were here for a month. This year, you're only here for 10 days. Maybe we can get you back. Maybe we can get you back for another month next year. And I said, there was a reason why I only came for 10 days this year. And so this next year, I'm only going back for 10 days. But, you know, on top of all that, while I was in India, I told Pastor Ward I also got the invitation next year to go to Holland. I believe Amsterdam, I'm going there. And we also got the invitation to go back, but to the Azores, to the island of St. Michael that belongs to the little islands of the Azores. And I'm excited about that because, as many of you know, Azores belongs to the country of Portugal, and that's where I was born. And I came here, and I came over to the States when I was 2 years old. So I'm finally going to go back to where I was born and get to see where, you know, where I come from. And I'm going back this time to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so many doors have opened up. We're going back to India, Holland, and then we're going to the Azores. And so just keep us in your prayers. My wife and I are so thankful for this church, for everything that you've done for us, for sowing a seed into our ministry. And I just wanted to let you know that the seed that you sowed did not go into bad ground, but it went into good ground. We got to see many people know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I really wish that I could have shown you some pictures, and someday you'll be able to see the pictures. But God did great things, and I'm so thankful for this church. And I just pray, I honestly pray every day and thank the good Lord for Charleston Church. And I ask God for everyone that has been a blessing to our ministry and has sowed into our ministry, because that's how we keep going. And everybody that has blessed us financially, I pray that God will multiply back to you in greater measure, and that you will really see that when you make the kingdom of God your first priority, God will always take care of your needs, and he will always make sure that you never go without in this life. And so thank you so much. I love you. I love this church. I love the pastor and his wife. We got an incredible church. A lot of people may say we're out in the middle of nowhere. We may be out in the middle of nowhere, but God knows where we're at, and he moves here every week. Can somebody say amen? Thank you, and God bless you.
Bless you, buddy. Good job. Thank you. Good job. There are people that don't know. Marianne, would you stand? And Lily and Matthew. I don't know if they can see Lily and Matthew, but that's Marianne, Nate's wife. And we love these guys. And I saw Nate yesterday in the hospital visiting with Paul, and he said, I just can't wait to get back to my home church. I've missed it. I've missed being around. And you know, some evangelists don't ever go to church unless they're preaching. And not them folks. They're in church every time they're home. And we love these guys, and they're the real deal. Isn't that? How many are glad that God sent Nate to India and not you? I'm not built for it, man. I'm built for the shade. So, hey, let's stand together. I want us to pray. I'll take up an offering later. If I feel like it, I'll take it up. You can play a little bit, though, Heather. That would help me a little bit. And sometimes I take up offering Sunday night. Sometimes I don't. If in my mind I think we need one, I don't take it. If it helps you a little bit, because God is our source. And sometimes preachers can lean on the people more than they lean on the source. And every time I've leaned on the source, God has always taken care of the people. Amen. But I want us to pray together tonight. I want us to join our faith just before we go into the Word. Of course, we're praying for Paul. If you were not here this morning, which is the beauty of having an evening service, people can come in the evening that might not be able to make it in the morning. Friday night, Heather rushed Paul, her husband, the guy that's not Paul. If you're thinking, wow, I think he had surgery. That's not Paul. That's not. That's Steve, which I messed your name up last week, so that gave me a good excuse to redeem myself. But they rushed Paul with an AFib in his heart. Very irregular beating, if you don't know what that is. Been in the hospital all weekend. They don't have any doctors there on the weekend because they just don't. People don't usually get sick on Saturday and Sunday. But this morning, I had a real bad attack. About 3 o'clock this morning, they were getting ready to put him in the ICU. And then he just began to call on the name of Jesus. He just said, I had a real talk with Jesus. The doctors came back a half hour later. They said, your heart is beating perfectly. They got him up walking around. His heart's been beating perfectly all afternoon. The only thing he lacks is a good night's sleep. Because how many know the only place you can't sleep is in the hospital? All right, that's tough. So he's doing good. God's touching him. And Heather, thank you for helping us today. You know, sometimes you don't realize it. Go ahead, just let her know. She's got 4 chicks at home, and the hen is up here playing. And you don't realize, folks, that there are people that are ushering on any given Sunday, and you don't know what they're going through when you walk by, but they're still ushering. There are people working the nursery. You don't know what they've been through that week, but they're still showing up at the nursery. There are kids in Sunday school being taught by teachers whose teachers have been going through it all, and they show up on Sunday. There are people up here on this platform that you never know what they went through all week, but in spite of what they went through, they say, I'm going to go and serve God. And that works amongst so many, almost all the volunteers I know, and amongst the staff as well. So let Heather know you appreciate her and Paul and love them. Thank you. I'll tell you, it means a lot as a pastor, for whatever it's worth, when I begin to see church people just kind of rallying around other volunteers, but rallying around the staff as well. I think that's just healthy. You realize just because you go on the staff of a church, you're not now instantly immortal. You're just as human as anybody else. You just have some more responsibilities, more eyes on you. So thank you. But we want to pray together tonight. And let's agree together. So good to see Daryl Smith with us praying for Bill Rose. And Bill is the guy that sits down over here. And he had surgery and was out for days. And they had to actually take his nose off. And so he's the gentleman that sits down front. We're praying for him and needs across this building. Let's lift a hand to heaven. Lord, I thank you tonight that every need that we have has a provision. And you're the same God in Charleston, Maine, as you are in Chennai, India. And Lord, your name is just as great in India as it is in Maine. And Lord, together we pray for Paul. Believe that you're going to give him 100% recovery in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for Bill Rose. Give him 100% recovery. Be with Daryl Smith and with the precious people that are in this place tonight. When I talked about going through the struggle and the trial, there are people in this place tonight came with that already in their mind. I pray that you will speak to them. As we go into the Word tonight, we discuss how you speak to us. May you, Holy Spirit, speak inspiration, edification to the body of Christ as a whole and as individuals here tonight. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12. Thank you so much for bringing pencils for our back to school emphasis in power education. Next week is crayons and color pencils. So bring all the crayons and all the colored pencils that you can. Every week we'll have that. And then on September the 3rd, we're going to have back to school prayer. We're going to have school teachers and officials from all over coming. We'll pray for all of them. And then a big bash after that, big barbecue. Well, I don't know what we're eating for food, but we're going to have fun. There's going to be a lot of things going on. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Senior adults are meeting Tuesday. Brad Stone will be giving his testimony. And how many of you felt like Brad just did a bang-up job singing this morning? Did a great job ministering to us. The mercy of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12 reads this way. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Heavenly Father, speak through and to us today. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. If you'll spare me some moments, if you'll pay me about 25 minutes of your attention, I'll try to return something that's as valuable as the time that you've given here tonight. I spoke to you, it seems like a long time ago now, the summers can be long, but on private prayer language of tongues, the private prayer language of tongues. And I think it's worthy to speak of these things, not so much overly emotional, but very scriptural. And so the scripture tells us that there are distinct advantages to praying or having a prayer language, and we call it praying in tongues. One, it brings intimacy. You get to know Jesus in a way that the person who does not speak in tongues would not experience. You get to know him personally. It's more of an encounter than a lesson. You not only get intimacy, you get insight. How many of you have ever prayed and the Holy Spirit prayed through you and what was confusing became very clear to you? It's a beautiful moment. And then we are infused. When you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that you are constantly being built up. Every now and then, we need some encouragement. Every now and then, we need a good pat on the back. And guess what? When you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, that's what God does. He comes down and just kind of gives you that pat on the back. Sometimes it's a kick in the backside, but most of the time, it's a pat on the back. How many have needed a pat on the back every now and then? Or just a good word of encouragement. And then he gives us the ability to intercede. The Bible says when we don't know how to pray, we're bearing some burdens. The Bible says that he begins to successfully pray through us. I see no disadvantage in having a private prayer language. Not sure that I'd be in the ministry today without it. But tonight I want to talk to you about the public prayer language that is as scriptural and I believe takes on a dynamic that we all need. If Paul was trying to discourage people from speaking in tongues, he would have had some kind of notes in there like, enjoy it while it lasts. This is for a limited time offer. He would have said, you know, you got another good, well, I think I'll be alive another 50 years. You better get the best of it because this is coming to an end. No. It is obvious to me, and we're not here to debate that. You obviously, I'm pretty sure, already understand that Paul was not giving a warning. Look, this isn't going to happen much longer. He was getting them on track so that they could be effective in it for all of their lives. All right? So let me just give you this concept first, though, so that I got my whiteboard out. I love doodle. I'm actually doing all my sermons on my big doodle pad. So I'm going to graduate even to different colors pretty soon. Yeah, you're as excited about that as I thought. All right. I want to give you a picture, and this may seem right off topic, but I think that you'll see it is on topic after. So the spiritual gifts, public spiritual tongues, is all about our public gathering in our worship. And as I was in prayer, I was like, Lord, help me to explain, because people have made tongues and interpretation an issue that God never meant it to become. It's like it becomes the dividing line between some people and other people. So I felt like, all right, Lord, help me to draw back and see it from an eagle eye perspective. And so the Lord began to speak to me. He said, you got to understand that every service, he says, I want to manifest as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we understand that. If you've been in church for a while, if you're a Sunday school alumnus, he is the Father. Do you know that the Father gives gifts? They are the gifts. Oh, look, I'm up on the screen again. Beautiful. The gifts of purpose. Romans chapter 12. These are gifts that you have been given in your DNA. Some people were musical before they got saved, and after they got saved, they used their music for the Lord. Some people had their garage pretty well put together. Then after they got saved, they realized they had a gift of administration. Some people are very merciful before they get saved. So being merciful after they get saved is not something they have to learn. It's a gift that they have. Those are the gifts of purpose. And then there is the Son, and He gives gifts of people. That's found in Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, was crucified, buried, rose again, and gives to the church gifts of people. What are the gifts? The Bible says in Ephesians 5, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It would seem odd for the guy that's got the microphone to say, but honestly, the ministry is a gift that Jesus gives to the church. Right? I tell my wife all the time, I'm a gift to you. I'm your pastor. Hallelujah. No, I'm just teasing. And so the people are a gift. This is the question you should ask the next person who you say or says to you, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And what God hears is, oh, I'm giving you a gift that you don't need. Go like this. You're in church. Stop. Don't give me the silent treatment. Go like this. When somebody says, I'm a Christian, you say, who's your pastor? Well, I don't have one. I don't have to have one to be a Christian. Oh, so you're in essence saying to Jesus, I know you gave gifts of ministry, but I don't want it. How offensive is that to God? Imagine if I come to you on your birthday. Here's a gift. I don't want it. Oh, okay. Well, I'll take my $5 Goodwill card to somebody else. I actually gave Malcolm $10 in Goodwill gift cards one year. I don't think he's used them yet. He just too tight, man. He's a penny pincher. He couldn't find any. Everything was overpriced, is what he said. All right. So the gifts of the Father are purpose, the DNA. The gifts of the Son is the ministry. Thank you for that applause. All right? You kind of set yourself up for that. The Holy Spirit is the gifts of power. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. How's my penmanship? That's actually, I'm trying. Better than usual. Every service, oh, the gifts of power, you know what they are. The gifts of intuition, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning. The gifts of power are manifestation. They are the gifts of healing, the working of healing, the gift of faith. And then there are the gifts of inspiration, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. I said, Lord, then what does this mean? Why do I need to know this? And I've never heard this before. The Lord, I believe, impressed on me that every service should have people using their purpose. Every service, the ministry, should have integrity and effectiveness and be doing what it's called to do. And every service, there should be power. How many believe that if everybody's doing their calling of purpose, if the ministry's doing what it's called to do, and there's spiritual power there, you're going to see some dynamic outpouring of the Holy Spirit and some powerful things will happen. Not every now and then, every time we gather. If you'll use your gifts, if you'll respond to the ministry, the leadership, if you will allow the Holy Spirit to bring power, I believe that we can take this mighty 777 up to a whole nother level for the glory of God and for the good of this community. How many want to be a part of that kind of church? That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. That's the kind of church that we're building. Of these gifts is the gift of power. And of the gifts of power, give me 15 minutes to talk to you about the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 reads this way, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. This is what Paul said. Now maybe there are some of you, and I'm sure of it, this is the first time you've ever heard this taught. But I think it's good for you to know that it's not the tradition of men, it's in the Holy Scripture. Go like this. Go like this. Somebody say it's in the Bible. Right? Now, maybe you went to a church where the pastor highlighted it with a black Sharpie. That's not my fault. It's actually highlighted with yellow in my iPad here. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Interesting. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Now that makes some people mad, but you'll have to take that up with Paul. Prophecy is better than tongues. Hello? God doesn't work a welfare program where everybody's equal. He's saying a prophetic gift is better than a gift of tongues. That's what he says. Okay? Unless indeed he interprets and the church may receive edification. Tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy, or they're about the same. But now, brethren, if I came to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, without whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in sounds, how will it be known as it is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be spoke? How will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. Let me stop right there. On the day of Pentecost, you remember, 120 were in the upper room. The streets were full of people gathered for the festival of Pentecost. A wind rushes through, there's tongues of fire, and the people burst out in spontaneous worship to God, speaking in a diverse number of tongues. The languages they were praising God in were the language that the people that had traveled from all over the world could understand. And I talked about that a few weeks ago. You could go back on the website and listen to that. There was in that room 120 people speaking perhaps 120 different languages. But one man got up and could hear that the people outside were saying, "What does this mean?" And Peter stood up and said, "This meaneth that." And he began to communicate what the Holy Spirit was doing. That tells me that whenever there is a move of God, that it is required that there is somebody with a gift to articulate what God is doing. Where Pentecost has taken a black eye is when people would become involved with the activity of the Holy Spirit, but nobody had the ability to get up and articulate what was going on. We must, for every generation, please lean in and hear what I'm saying, because I'm willing to contend for the real thing. I want my grandkids to pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many other parents in this church long for that, but I can tell you I do. I want your grandkids to begin to know what the joy of praying in the Holy Ghost is. But we must contend with the tension of saying we're not going to be satisfied in just having the activity. We must contend to communicate what this means. Peter stood up and said, "This is that." And so, in other words, what was going on was in the scripture. So if you don't have a "that," then this is not from God. And so we've got to become so well versed in what that says, the Bible says, and begin. And so this is really what Paul is saying. Paul is saying whatever dynamic, influential, just unbelievable things that God is doing, there ought to be somebody in the place that knows how to detail and accurately describe what's taking place. Point taken? Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world. None of them is without significance. Therefore, I do not know the meaning of the language. I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Stop. That means we all can grow, and that we all should desire to be excelling and to be accurate with our gifts. Good? One more scripture. Therefore, verse 13, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Ready? 2 points. I've only got 2 points tonight because any more than that confuses something that's very simple. Number one, first point. When the gift of tongues is demonstrated, there must be an interpretation and the church is to be edified. When the gift of tongues is demonstrated, there must be an interpretation and the church is to be edified, encouraged, built up. Are you all right with that? Nothing controversial really to talk about tonight. It's interesting that the gift of tongues is the only one of the nine that are listed that totally rely on another gift for it to be effective. I think it's beautiful because God wants there to be agreement and unity in the service. Right? Understand, when one person stands up and they speak in a heavenly language, the person that is to interpret is to give an impression of what the Holy Spirit is saying, not a translation. I preached in Dorchester one time, several times actually, my wife was there, and the pastor's wife was translating. My sermon was 30 minutes. Hers was an hour and a half. You didn't get that. You don't get out much. I forget sometimes. I would preach for like 30 seconds and she would preach for 3 minutes. Okay, I'll come back to that later. I think some people, they hear a message in tongues and they think they've got to say word for word what God said. When it's not translation, it's interpretation. It's interpretation. So when they hear that person speaking in tongues, there's an impression on their heart. This is what God is trying to say. Now I need to say it with my vernacular and the way that I can speak. Oftentimes you'll hear somebody give an interpretation to a gift of tongues and they'll use the King's English. And you might sit there and say, now look, I can't interpret the King's English. I don't use therefore, thus, and the, you know, these big words, these $10 words. But what you need to understand is a little history that when I grew up, people were so much into the Word, and they were only reading the King James Version. And so they were so much into the Word. I mean, listen, ladies and gentlemen, our forefathers would spend hours just reading the Word. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Instagram. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have cable news. They read the Word, and they were so full of the Word. I'm not judging them at all. They were so full of the Word that when the Holy Spirit was beginning to move and there would be a message in tongues, what would come up out of them is that Word that they had been reading. My problem was I've never been good at saying therefore. This is not the night to get quiet on me. I don't use the King's English. And so I would feel intimidated, and then the other thing would happen. If you used your own words, they would judge you. Well, that wasn't spiritual. You didn't use usseth. Right? No. I'm trying to bring clarity. Don't judge those old folks that did that, because they were full of the Word. That's how they knew how to get it out. But don't judge somebody else because they don't use your particular grammatical structure. They might say wicked every now and then. Thus saith the Lord, he thinks you're a wicked bright. Well, all right, if that's what's being said, that's you. Jordan Day is going to hear and repeat what God says to him differently than what's your name? Mr. Clean down here. Dennis. I can't think of anybody's name today. Come on, somebody, come on. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty to just say, look, this is what I think God is saying. Jack Cole used to, when the Spirit moved, he'd jump up and start screaming, hot dog, hot dog, hot dog. And I do not want to quench people who are just getting fresh and new with this. Look, you might scream hot dog, you might say pepperoni pizza. Whatever makes you happy, just be who, just don't, here, don't be what you're not. Just be who you are. But don't judge somebody else because they don't do it just like you. It's the gift of interpretation, not translation. The Bible says that if a message in tongues is given in a service, that it must be interpreted. And so if a person gives a message in tongues and nobody interprets, that person who gives the message in tongues should understand that they can use the same faith to give the interpretation as they use to give the message. You know, if you came for something deep, I'm so sorry. And I like to promise it'll be here next week, but it probably ain't ever going to happen if I got a microphone. Do you use the same faith? You heard me preach it this morning. It takes faith to give a message in tongues. And it takes faith to give the interpretation. I would rather you struggle with trying to interpret than to just stand there and go home and feel bad and guilty. Are you here? This morning, there was a young lady standing over here, which I embarrassingly revealed to the entire church that she's been here a year and I didn't know her. I went home and I felt bad about that. I felt bad about that. Now everybody that comes to this church that doesn't stand in line wait for me to shake their hand because they're not that important. Okay, and if you came here when there's 50 people, you might judge me for not knowing if there's 900 people and somebody slips in. So I went home and I felt bad. I said, man, I feel like an idiot. She said, my wife said, you are. No, she did not. My wife said, honey, what you don't realize is though you did not know her, what you said to her was exactly what she's going through, and in that you did not know her, proved to her that it was God. I just didn't need everybody else to know that I did not know her. But I'm not smart enough to think before I speak. Nate reminded me, and I'm just saying my own experience. When Nate got ordained, he's ordained through this church. And he reminded me the other day, the Holy Spirit came upon that meeting and a word of prophecy was given. You're not only going to preach the gospel here in the nation, in the United States, you're going to preach the gospel all over the world. He grabbed a hold of that like I talked about last Sunday night, put his faith in what God had spoken over him. And look, next year he's going to India, Holland, and whatever nation he came from. I can't remember. He confused me on where he came from. Some island. Come on, how many know it's beautiful when God speaks to his people? Isn't it beautiful? I love it when God speaks to us. I love it when God speaks to us. Here's the beauty of tongues and interpretation. And the beauty of prophecy. This morning was an incredible example of that. Watch what happened. So I got up here and preached to the best ability that I have. I prepared as much as I could. And I felt like at the end of it, I'd got to a wall. So began to worship and just wait on the Holy Spirit. Did you see Brother Burrell? Sky came over here. And he did not say something different than what was preached. He said what was preached in a different way. And what I lacked in ability to come across, God gave him the other piece. Please listen, I'm trying to teach you how to have church. Not one person has all the pieces to the puzzle. God will not allow me. I've tried. I beat myself up, and I'm finally going to resign to it. I don't know everything that happens in the service. And I can't accomplish everything that needs to be done in the service. I've been trying, and I can't do it. And I'm learning that God puts certain pieces of the puzzle in my hands, and he puts certain pieces of the puzzle in your hands. There are pieces to the puzzle that the parking lot team have. There are pieces to the puzzle that the hospitality team has. There are pieces to the puzzle that the nursery workers have. There's pieces to the puzzle that Sunday school workers have. There are pieces to the puzzle that Kids on the Move workers have. There are pieces to the puzzle that the drama, we don't have any drama. To the people that do stuff up here, whatever they're called. There's pieces to the puzzle that the security team has. There are pieces to the puzzle that people in here have. And when we all bring our piece to the puzzle and we put it in place, how many know God's got a beautiful picture to paint every time we gather? You just can't force whoever's leading the service to carry all the pieces of the puzzle in his pocket. And I was missing a significant piece to the puzzle that would conclude the service. And when Sky came down and he brought his piece to the puzzle, whoop, it fit right in place. How do you know it's real? Whoop, it fits right in place. I remember the oil and hammer guy. Well, that's a blast from the past, isn't it? It just didn't fit. It just didn't fit. I'm trying to think of, I remember Mike Richard. There's a message in tongues. I think Elaine gave it. Mike Richard. You remember Mike when you came across? It was demonstrative. He came across the altar, and what were you? You were jackhammering something. You remember that? He was jackhammering something. Now Joanne would not give the same interpretation. She would say, God is pruning something. God is stitching something. Mike is, God's jackhammering something. That's beautiful. If my son did it, he'd say, God is slam dunking something. Hello? If Bryce did it, he'd say, God is smashing something. God's trucking something to your life. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is coming on dualies to bless you tonight. See, that's the beautiful. If everybody brings their peace, nothing missing, nothing lacking. That's what the big picture of tongues and interpretation is about. Everybody bringing their peace to the puzzle. Let me say these two things, and I'll move to the next thing, and then I'm done with that thing. When a message in tongues, why? Why would God give a message in tongues and interpretation or prophecy? Because the worship can be going. That's the gifts of purpose. The preaching can be going. That's the gifts of people. And yet still there are people in the service whose hearts are hardened or resistant to what God is doing. Please tune in, folks. It has become very apparent to me the greatest way for backsliders to come back to Christ is when there is a ministry of the Holy Spirit and the resistance that they've built against what is going on in worship, what is going on in preaching, all of a sudden like a heat-seeking missile. A heat-seeking missile that comes right down to street level and finds that hard heart, that rebellious mind, that pride-filled heart, that backslidden condition, that person with sin and addiction. But that word, when somebody gives a message in tongues, and when there's an interpreter, and all of a sudden it smashes the walls that the devil's been building, all of a sudden their heart is open and they begin to weep and cry. It's another piece to the puzzle. The worship's one part. The preaching's another part. The giving's another part. But the power of the Holy Spirit is the part that just is the C4. It kicks down what the devil's been building to do. It'll even kick down religious walls. Somebody say amen. We need some of that around here. Second, let me read this. Okay, I got to say this. How many of you can tell this isn't well rehearsed? Intentionally. A moment comes, and I need you to hear what I'm going to say to you. When that moment comes, and I don't like this. If I could change it, I would. When that moment comes, that person who's built a hardness in their heart, Pastor Andy, is going to do one of two things. They're either going to humble themselves and come to God, or they're going to get harder and they're just going to drift further away. And so you better make sure that it's right. Which leads me to my next point. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. I don't care what the other pastor said. I care what the Holy Ghost said. And he said, do not forbid to speak in tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. My last point, when the gift of tongues is demonstrated, it is to be exercised with discipline and not forbidden. If a message in tongues and interpretation comes, especially in the light of reaching somebody who needs to come to Christ, if it's on, you better realize somebody's soul is in the balance. And it deserves a lifestyle of prayer and fasting and sanctified and holy living before you take up a gift that could tip somebody into a hardened heart and into an apostate condition that will send them into a sinner's hell. But at the same time, how many of you would love to see these kind of gifts in operation so that every sinner and every backslider just suddenly breaks under the power of the Holy Ghost and says, I don't want to resist this for another moment. Please, somebody, open the altar so that I can come and receive this merciful gift of salvation. How many of you got somebody you want to see get saved? How many of you know somebody that's backslidden that needs Christ? Please, can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit is a wonderful worker in the altar to get people there. Now, there's two words here that I think that need to be looked at. The Bible says, let it be done decent and in order. The word decent means to be beautiful. It means to have awe. The word order means the protocol of that house. In my house, the protocol is you take your shoes off at the door. So I'm told. You even take your flip-flops off at the door, which I have no issue with. There is, look what he says, that how do you know it's real? Because you know, not all worship's real. Not all preaching's real, and not all manifestations are real. So how do we know? Paul's given us a beautiful description. It will be decent, and it will be in order. It will be an awe. Somebody say awe. And it will be by the protocol of the house. I want to paint a picture for some of you that are afraid of it, to draw your desire for it. And to take away your fear. I'm not going to talk about what's not real. I'm going to talk about what happens when it is real. Y'all okay with that? When it's real, something in you goes, wow. Somebody say that, wow. You're going to go, wow. No. The awe of God. Are you all there? God is speaking. Wow. It's the only moment in the church that nobody gets up and moves. When that happens, when there's a message in tongues and it comes from God, it's not whether the preacher knows it or not. Everybody knows. Everybody's like, whew. The only way I know how to have a picture is this. You're going along and it happens and you're like, if you're reaching in your pocket for a mint, you leave it in your pocket. Right? If you're scratching your arm, you just... How many of you have ever been on those service, like a message in tongues come, and you're like... You were just leaning over to say something dumb to your wife, and you're like... And you swallow it right there. It could have been saving you a fight right there, just the liming of the Lord. You just go... How many understand that's what people that don't know God need to have moments like that? Like, whoa, God is in this place. Secondly, it will be in order. It will fit. It will fit. You say, well, can it happen during this? Can it happen during that? Can it happen during over there? All I can tell you is it'll fit. Y'all just kind of, what are you, nervous? What's the matter with you? Y'all getting ready to get on the subway? It'll just fit. Ladies and gentlemen, I have, my wife has, staff members have, you have perhaps talked with people that are brand new to church, never been in church before. They've not been taught all these things that are right and wrong. I love dealing with new people, have never been to church because they accept everything like, wow, this, if it's real, they'll accept it. My wife has talked with ladies. When there'll be a message in tongues, they say, I don't know what that was, but as soon as it happened, I began to cry. I began to break down inside. I've heard men say, man, when that interpretation was given, I just felt God just break every excuse out of my life. When it's real, itch. And when it's real, it's like, man, that fits. Now, will we ever make mistakes? Sure. Will it ever be done and it needs to be corrected? Sure. But I'd rather correct it than resurrect it. On that note, if you can't take correction, you better not try it. If I can't take correction, I shouldn't be on this platform. If you can't take correction, you need to repent from your pride. That's why some people don't work in the gifts, because they can't stand being corrected. And you're not being punished, just being redirected. Now, the most Pentecostal people in here just looking at me like the longest face I've ever seen in my entire life. The new people like, yeah, this is awesome. The media people like, yeah. The teenagers, they're not even playing. They're all looking at me. Well, I'm going to talk about this stuff more often. Let the religious people go to sleep. Sleep on. Because if you're awake, I'd say something to disturb you. So I'd rather you just sleep on. We need the awesomeness of God. Are you with me tonight? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's awesome, and it fits. That's it. Let's stand. You know, every one of us shall be candidates for the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be a candidate for the power of the Holy Spirit to come quickly, stand around this altar quickly, quickly, quickly. I'm more concerned about you being a candidate of the Holy Spirit than explaining it to you, to be quite honest with you. The greatest need that we have in this church is not an explanation. The greatest need we have in this church is a desire for a demonstration. Come on, quick, come on, quick, come on, quick, come on, quick, come on, quick. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Come quick. Come quick. If you're a teenager, if you're 95, I don't care. Just come quick. Jesus, Jesus. Forbid not, he said, tongues. Forbid it not. Oh, God, give us the power of your Spirit. Give us the power of your anointing. Comes right up close. Come right up close. There are people coming. Beautiful. What a wonderful response. Wonderful. These are people that say, I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Let's lift our hands and just, I'm telling you, you don't have to be like me. We need to be open to a variety of expressions of the Holy Spirit. We need to be open to a variety of expressions of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to ask you not to try to emulate somebody else. But your words are powerful. And I want God to begin to use your words in the name of Jesus. Now, begin to pray right out loud all over this place. There must be 225 people in this altar alone. Why don't you just open your mouth? It ought to sound like a buzz coming up through here. Come on, them people online ought to know what it sounds like when an altar full of people pray. The microphones are strong enough. Oh, come on, that's it, beautiful. Pray in your known language and pray as the Holy Spirit leads you tonight. Something beautiful is going to happen in your life. Something beautiful God wants to do with your life. And he's going to use your words, especially when you become anointed. There's oil. There's power. Come on, begin to contend for it. Lord, use me. Lord, use me in your power. Let me not be resistant at all, but let me begin to flow. Oh, Lord, use my life. Come on, make that your prayer. Lord, use my life. Make me mighty, Lord, for you. Make me mighty for you. Hallelujah. 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 Just wait on the Lord. Give me about 5 minutes, if you would. Just pray. I got something I need to do. I think it's going to help us. I'm excited about it. Oh, you're fine. You're fine, bud. You're fine. Lord, use me. Begin to open your mouth and say, Lord, give me the gifts of inspiration. Use my tongue. Speak to my mind. Fill my heart with the power of your spirit, Lord, that I may be used by you. Maybe you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Let Jesus come and do the next greatest thing to salvation. That is baptize you in supernatural power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. I wish God would just take a bunch of teenagers and fill them with His Spirit and make them mighty with their words so that they can articulate to their generation what it is the Holy Spirit's been doing for 100 generations. Come on, begin to pray. Lord, raise up the teenagers so that they can communicate it. Lord, help us as the latter generation to be an example to them on how to pursue the things of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, let it flow, Lord. Let it flow, I pray right now. Let it flow. Open the windows of heaven and pour out of your spirit. Pour out of your spirit something authentic, something real, something genuine, something that changes us, something that changes our families, something that changes our lives. Take young men and young women who don't feel like they have a voice and give them a voice in Jesus' name. Give grandparents, grammys and grandparents, prophetic words and messages from you that they could communicate to their family and to one another. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, just let the oil of the Holy Ghost flow. Let it flow right now. Hallelujah. Let it flow right now. Lord, give me the tongue that can communicate. Woo. Hallelujah. Jesus, I'm hungry. Come on, you got to tell Him I'm hungry. It only comes by faith and hunger. Faith and hunger are absolute requirements for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just wait on the Lord. It takes time to get these things. Just wait on the Lord. Welcome Him. Holy Spirit. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Sing it one more time, Heather. Sing it one more time. Come on, church. Make Him welcome here. Holy Spirit. I have to see things to understand things. Dennis went got me the splitting mall. Don't be nervous. I had nothing to use it on today. You're relieved, Doug? You're relieved? You're just not sure with me. That's a picture of what God wants to do. The handle is the leadership of the church. God established leadership. The weight is the church. the leadership connected to the church, we corporately bring weight to what God is doing. The gifts are for our gathering. I know certain people teach, well, the gifts are for a back room when it's quiet. That's not even scriptural. 1 Corinthians 14 says, when you all gather. So the gifts are, they can be used in small group meetings. But Paul was issuing teaching on when you gather as a church. So the power of God is expected. The leadership must be in place with integrity, with biblical definition. The weight is the unity of the church. Somebody say unity. The weight is the unity of the church, but the cutting edge is the power of the gifts. If all we have is leadership, which is what some churches are satisfied, you got a good looking handle. But who wants a good looking handle? Nobody. When you connect good leadership with the unity of the church, now you've got potential. Right? Now you got potential. You got something there. It's like the form. When Adam was created, he was formed, but he didn't have any life in him. So then God gives the edge. That's the power. Praise. So when you get good integrity of leadership with the unity of the church together, and you connect that to the power of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing too big that cannot be broken. There is nothing too hard for God to do when you put that together. Come on. That's what the picture of the church shall be. That's what it's about. To be effective, to get the job done. And I don't know about you, but I feel in my spirit I'm a part of a church tonight and have been that wants to get the job done. Everybody has their piece. You got your piece to give. You got your piece, Brenda. But let us not ever get all of our pieces and forsake the edge. The edge. Now, let me address this. The Holy Spirit just kind of nudged me. Okay, you say, I have a message in tongues, but I'm not sure. Those of you that have been used by God in that gift, you know, you got that flow. But honestly, 99% of the people in this altar have not flowed that way. Okay? Let's just be honest about it. Especially in the service, like this morning, I didn't tell Sky what I was going to do tonight, but I'll tell you what Sky did. That's the guy over there with the white beard. I saw a picture of him working on clay one time. I thought I'd call him Harry Potter. Anyways, I felt the Lord leave when I said that mysterious name. You know what he did? The altar service was going. He moved towards the front. I saw him. We worked together. Just felt to worship a little bit at the right time. Gave him the microphone. Everything flowed. The altar was packed with people. And people were ministered to. My wife was saying she's seen people in the altar she hadn't seen forever. Weeping and crying out to God. Wouldn't happen just with my piece of the puzzle. But somebody else brought theirs. So if you're here in this church and you say, I don't know. I think I've got a prophetic word. But I don't know what to do. My voice isn't that loud. I like it when I don't know how Mike Richard articulates the way he speaks, but he, like, everywhere, and everybody just knows exactly what, without a microphone. Oh, that I could work without a microphone. See Darcy. Just walk, you know, I think I got a word from God. Teenagers, young men and young women, if you feel like God's got something for you to say, walk over to that old Harry Potter, or the young people know who I'm talking about. Walk over to my wife. Walk over to Kelly. Walk over to Vinny. He's on vacation. Walk over to Heather. Walk over to Paul. Walk over to me. Walk over to a board member. The board members know. They can't be on the board if they don't know how the Holy Spirit. Go to one of them and say, you know what? I feel like God's saying something to me. And they'll say, okay, right now. Or they'll say, okay, hang on a minute. Or they'll say, you know what? I think we need to talk after service. We need to grow a little bit. Isn't this exciting? Isn't this like... We're not going to forbid it. We're going to have it in Jesus' name. Now, how many would let the Lord just give you a fresh anointing tonight for whatever gift that God wants to have you? Just reach over and find somebody to pray with right now. We're going to close in prayer. I've done what I was supposed to do. I've accomplished my assignment. But I wish everybody would find somebody. Everybody find somebody. Come on. and begin to thank God for them. They're a gift. They are a gift. Come on. They are precious to the Lord. They're valuable. And I want you to begin to pray that God will use them like He's never used them before. Come on. Good and strong. Good and strong. Good and strong. Good and strong. That's it. Lord, touch everybody watching online tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's beautiful, beautiful. People down here, people back there are praying. Let's just seek the Lord together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the Lord gives you a word of encouragement, use it. Come on. If the Lord gives you a word of encouragement, speak it now in Jesus' name. Oh God, use us. Oh God, use us. Oh God, pour out your spirit on sons and daughters. Pour your spirit out on the men and the women. Pour your spirit on our grandmothers and grandfathers. Pour your spirit on new converts. Pour your spirit out on those that are seasoned. Oh, that your anointing would flow. Oh, that we would have dynamic power. Oh, that we would have supernatural advantages. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. Thank God for it right now. Thank God for it right now. In the name of Jesus. He's raising up a fresh generation of Pentecostal power. A new generation of those who know how to proclaim the word of God and articulate what the Holy Ghost is doing. Come on. Come on. It's not based on your education. It's not based on how much money you have. It's not based on your past. It's based on the grace of God. Hallelujah. No one is in themselves worthy, but the blood of Christ makes everyone worthy to be a candidate for the power of God. For the power. Come on, somebody cry out. I need the power of God. I need the glory of your power. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.